The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Churchill said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." Kevin Hallinan believes that certainly applies to business. Welcome to Winning Business Radio here at W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. And now, your host, Kevin Hallinan.
Welcome back to Winning Business Radio. Thanks for being here. My name is Kevin Hallinan. I know that for sure. I just lost my place for a second there. It's live radio. What are you going to do, right? The mission of this show, as regular listeners know, is to offer insights and advice to help listeners avoid the mistakes of others, to learn best practices, the how-tos, the what-tos, and the what-not-tos, to be challenged and certainly to be inspired by the successes of others. Today's no exception. You know, it's interesting that virtually every person I've talked to that's had some success, they've also had some form of failure in their lives and careers. So as I always say, while we all have to get our knees skinned once in a while, I'm driven to keep those scrapes from needing major surgery. Let's endeavor to learn from history so we don't repeat it. Today, my guest is Naftali Anderson, coach, trainer, and speaker, and part of the John Maxwell team. His mission is to take clients from vision to fruition and to help them make the biggest positive impact possible. Here's his bio. Naftali Anderson helps people to get from vision to fruition. He helps them connect to their personal power by unlocking their authentic selves, then using that knowledge to find clarity and purpose to create the success they want in any area of their life. Naftali says he struggled with self-image, self-confidence, and finding any purpose in life. Even when he created success, he was always disconnected and it felt empty. Throughout it all, he has always had a passion for helping others be great because he never wants them to feel the loneliness and emptiness that he felt. After his sister died at age 34 and his grandfather 2 weeks later, he started questioning to a greater extent why he was here and what he needed to accomplish. Naftali has realized that he's here to make an impact and change lives. He's here to help people create greatness in their lives, whatever that looks like. As a result, Naftali began working with the John Maxwell team and trained under John Matone's Intelligent Leadership Program. Throughout that process, he realized his message is much deeper than just leadership. So he's also in high-level trainings with Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins. He says he learns from the best so he can give the best. He's here to free people from themselves so they can create a positive impact on the world. He helps them to be the hero of their lives and shut off anything that's holding them back while building habits to move forward faster. Naftali says it has to start with living a life authentic to yourself, because until then, you'll never be able to give 100%. He's been able to change his life, relationships, and more because of these same changes. And now he helps his clients drastically shorten their time to goals, and he thoroughly loves the process. Naftali holds a BS in electrical engineering from Rensselaer Polytech Institute and a certification in 2D animation from the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. He's DISC certified as well as a certified life coach. He resides in Brockton, Mass. With his wife of 9 years, Sherelle, and their two beautiful daughters, Shiloh 7 and Eden 4. Naftali, welcome to Winning Business Radio.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much. I love being here. Thank you.
I'm glad you could take some time. So my first question right out of the gate is, I want to talk about your first name. It's a strong name.
Yeah.
Who named you? Where did that come from? And is there a meaning there?
The name is actually from the Bible. So the sixth son of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when Rachel's handmaid had a baby, actually. And so Rachel said that her struggle was over. So Naftali actually means to wrestle or to struggle. And it's funny because when I found that meeting out, I was in a way, but I'm living up to my name. You know, I'm just wrestling with so many things. And I feel like that was going, but I've actually now grown to the point where that name actually means something of strength.
We're having some internet troubles here. Sorry about that. We're having a little internet trouble, I think. All right. Tell us where you, thanks for that. That's cool. Where did you grow up, and tell us about your upbringing?
Yeah. Originally born in the Bronx.
Cool. And you're supposed to say Bronx
right now in the BX and in New York. And so, I live in Brockton now. I spend a lot of time in Boston, mm-hmm. but, growing up, again, my father named me, like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, my father left when I was about 7 years old. Mm. And that was a tough time for me. So I was raised, you know, just by my mom. I have an older brother, I had an older sister, and I have a little brother. And so it was hard times. You know, there wasn't necessarily plenty. There was a lot of lack. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of just trying to do our best to make ends meet, you know. So I learned hard work from my mom, because she was always working two jobs, going to school and keeping us in sports. Wow. It was a busy time. But through it all, like I said, you said in the bio, you know, I always had a heart for people, and but I was struggling with my self-identity, mainly because, you know, my dad leaving.
Yeah.
Because he was the closest person to me, and that I took that extremely hard. And, you know, I found my joy in helping other people, but I was also using that to hide behind my pain, my struggles, and what I truly believed about myself. You know, so my whole growing up, taking action to try to earn people's approval because I was good at sports and good at my hands. Yeah. Because I didn't approve of myself and I didn't like myself. So it was always giving to everybody else so that people will accept me.
Wow. Well, we'll definitely talk more about that, because I'm sure it's an impetus for the coaching career. But you started out with an electrical engineering degree. What made you choose that direction?
Honestly, you know, like I said, we didn't come from a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And I was good at my hands. I had some interest in electronics. And so I went that degree. I got an engineering scholarship to RPI for 40 Ooh. Grand a year, for 40 years, which is awesome. And so I figured, you know, engineers make money. So I'm going to go be an engineer. I actually started in nuclear engineering. But I fell asleep in pretty much
every
chemistry
class. Your hair started falling out. It's just kidding.
Yeah, I was falling asleep in every chemistry class. And so I was like, you know what, this may not be the one for me. So that's when I switched to electrical engineering. And like I said, finished with a bachelor's in that.
You still finished in 4 years?
Four and a half.
Yeah. Probably with a change there, right?
Yeah.
So you began your career in building technology at Siemens as an engineering specialist. Describe that role.
Yeah, it was a kind of end all be all position. I did.
By the way, sorry, I should have asked, my fault, not yours. Describe Siemens to the audience as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the division, because Siemens, I'm pretty sure they're trying to take over the world. But my division that I worked in was the building automation department. So what we did is build controls and automation for HVAC equipment. And so I could literally log into a computer, see a whole college campus, if you will, dial down to even like one room and control that room temperature, water control, everything else.
Yeah, that's Skynet.
Yeah.
I think I saw that movie.
So, there's a lot of associations with the other things that's going on. You know, there's a lot of access, I'd say. And so with the engineering specialist position, I did everything but sales. So once a project was sold, I did all the project management, handled all the financials, handled all the subcontractors. I did design engineering work. I did startup work, install, pretty much everything from top to bottom after the project was sold. And so I would have 10 to 15 of these projects at a time, ranging up to like $300,000 for one project. So kept me pretty busy, but it taught me a lot about business.
Yeah.
Learning how to build those relationships, learning how to negotiate, because we both know things don't always go smoothly whenever you're doing a project for anything. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to buy time, learning how to use leverage, all those things I learned through that position. So it's pretty awesome.
Big company, very solid, stable company. You left in 2010. That was about 4+ years, I think. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to leave such a stable role?
I was a person that I was, would, you know, live and die for the team. And at that time, honestly, there was just differences. with a state of loyalty. I feel like people weren't protecting me like I was protecting them. And so I decided just to look elsewhere and see what else is going on. At that point, I went to a company called Brunel Controls, which is a small outfit, same type of work. And it was a pretty different experience. I convinced them to hire me, even though I had no experience with what they were looking for. And they had a certain, you know, pay salary that they were going to pay, and they didn't want to pay it to me. And I convinced them that if I could learn everything that they needed me to learn within a month, that they have to pay me that salary. And I did it. Cool. You know, I was able to learn it. They kept their word. And that was a nice, good experience too. And again, helped me boost my confidence, you know, what I'm capable of.
All right. So back up for a second. The first stint at Siemens, what would you say your key lessons learned or takeaways from that experience were?
I think my biggest takeaway really was I have to do things the way that worked for me. I didn't think about it as my first year there. I probably almost got fired my first year there. My boss at the time, he was a very fast paced guy. And he would go just a million miles an hour. And I was trying to keep up with him because he was my example at the time. And that didn't work. We got to one project and the project had to be turned over in about 2 weeks. And that's at the point I realized I forgot about the whole project. Didn't have any parts. Didn't have design done, didn't have anything. And it was a high level lab. And so at that point, it was kind of like the hit in the bottom for me. And that's when I flipped it over and said, I got to just do things my way. And that's when I went back to the people, building relationships, establishing my own schedules, and just taking advantage of what I'm good at.
So you went to Brunel. You also, around that time, based upon your LinkedIn profile, you got the certification in animation, right?
Yes.
So talk about Brunel and how that Art Institute of Pittsburgh experience, was that a possible new direction? You know, what motivated that that coursework, and how does that tie into Brunel? Maybe it didn't.
It didn't quite tie into Brunel, but as far as my story and as far as me leaning into success and me trying to find my true authentic self, it ties into that.
Oh, there
where,
you go.
You know, I grew up drawing. Drawing was one of my passions. And I always wanted to be an animator. And so at that point in time, you know, I decided that, you know, I want to make a change and I want to do something that I'm actually passionate about. And I started going to school online at night after work to get that certification.
Excellent.
In the 2D animation. So that was really just a passion thing, which I started doing some freelance work.
Well, I was just going to ask, how have those skills helped you?
I started doing some freelance work, but I was not at the point where I needed to be mentally. My mindset wasn't there. And so I was not able to push on. I wasn't able to overcome my own self-doubts. I wasn't able to stay consistent. And all the people saying stuff like, you can't make money with art. You can't do blah, blah. You know, all that noise was I let that be my truth instead of letting me lead the way with what I know.
We all get that. We all get that. So, all right. Interesting. One more question before we get to break. You weren't at Brunel for long. What did you take away from that less than a year experience at Brunel?
I think the biggest thing I took away was when I put my mind to something that I can accomplish it. You know, being able to learn a brand new programming format, learning a brand new system, something that might take a year or so for most people, I was able to pick up and just focus. I made a goal for myself and, you know, I crushed it. And I learned that I could do that.
Wow. Self-belief. That's awesome. All right. We're going to take our first break right here. We will be back in just a couple minutes with Tali Anderson of Tiger Eye Leadership.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Have you ever dreamt of being on the radio? Well, now is your chance. Be a radio show guest on the number one ranked internet radio station and promote you and your business for free. Yes, you heard it, free. Business advertising right here on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 now to get booked on one of our shows. That's 561-506-4031. Get your free advertising now.
You can tell what's wrong with a car just by sitting next to it at a red light. You can tear down a big block engine in 26 minutes. You know cars. We can help you find more of them to work on. And together, we can get your small business moving in the right direction. At AT&T Advertising Solutions, we have more ways to reach more people. With print, online, mobile, and direct marketing, AT&T Advertising Solutions has local advertising experts to help your small business find more customers. Call 1-800-GET-REAL to learn more. AT&T, rethink possible.
Is your pet overweight? Suffer from itchy skin and coat problems? Showing signs of food allergies? Then do your pet a favor. Stop by Fiesta Pet Deli, South Florida's original and only fresh food deli for pets. Prepared daily and FDA approved with products like Bravo, Nature's Variety, and BioComplete. Listen, dogs and cats are carnivores. 90% of their diet should be meat. That dry kibble you put in their bowl every day contains less than half of what their bodies require. Veterinarian owned and operated, Fiesta Pet Deli has one mission: to get your pet as healthy as possible. Give them a call today at 954-971-2500 or come check out their new store at the Festival Flea Marketplace at Sample Road in the Turnpike in Pompano, Florida. They also offer free local delivery, shipping throughout the United States. Check out their website at www.realfoodforpets.com or just Google Fiesta Pet Deli. If you truly love your pet and care about their health, stop by Fiesta Pet Deli. Call today at 954-971-2500.
Hey, this is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind: to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We are back with Holly Anderson, coach, trainer, and speaker, part of the John Maxwell team, and founder of Tiger Eye Leadership. Tali, welcome back. We were talking about your six-month stint at Brunel. You just shared your lesson learned. Mm-hmm. And you then found yourself back at Siemens.
Right.
Round two.
Yeah.
How did that take place?
Sure. That took place because essentially, I was working in Brunel Controls right under one of the owners, and mm-hmm. He was really the only guy that knew all the networking stuff, knew all the high-level controls that they needed to be done at that time. Mm-hmm. And we'll just say that with personalities and stuff, there wasn't a lot of room for me to grow and mm-hmm. for me to explore. And so,
smaller business, yeah.
At that point. I called up Siemens and just said, what do you got for me? That was actually literally the conversation that I had. And, they told me what was open. They told me what was the options for me to come back. And then at that point, I went back as just the area programmer. Mm-hmm. I don't burn bridges. It's not really my thing, mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm not going to stay somewhere where I feel like I can't grow.
Mm. And if you can't grow, you're not adding a lot of value to the company you're working at either.
Right. Exactly. And at this point in my life, I was constantly looking for growth. I think this is when I also started really diving into more personal growth, of how success works, what makes successful people different. And, just working simply just to get a paycheck my mind was shifting from that.
Yeah, I'm going to read a quote from, I think, it's your LinkedIn page about that thought. I'll read that in just a minute or so. But you spent now the next 5 years mm-hmm. at Siemens, and you went from senior programmer to senior service specialist. Talk about that time there and maybe a takeaway from that position, those positions, that time at Siemens.
Oh yeah. So, as the programmer, generally in the office most of the time, but then I would go out to job sites to help other technicians implement the programming. But that was around the time when Sherelle was pregnant with Shiloh, so my first child. And so we had one vehicle at the time, and I was taking that vehicle to go to work. And sometimes I would be an hour and a half away from home. And so that didn't really sit well with me, just in case something happened. Yeah. And I wasn't allowed to get a vehicle in that position. And also in that position, I did extremely well. I got a trophy for being like the best in the nation.
Wow.
But thank you. And but at the same time, I was also getting a bit bored. It was getting too repetitive. And so with that, and then the car situation and about to have a baby, I decided to switch over to the service side and be a senior technician over there, and which allowed me to get a vehicle through the company.
That's my E&E Systems, home, right?
My wife. This is the senior.
Oh, the senior service specialist. Senior.
Yep.
Got it. Sorry.
So that allowed me a vehicle so that I could leave my car with my wife. Just in case anything happens, she needs to rush to the hospital, whatever it may be, without me being an hour and a half away. So that allowed me that. And that was a big experience, too, honestly. We did a lot of work at the School of Public Health,
Harvard,
which is in Boston. Yes, Harvard School of Public Health, and redid all their controls. And it was about $3 million worth of work. And, you know, I essentially ran a team down there. Ran a team of electricians, pipe fitters, et cetera. Redid massive amounts of database changes and just scheduling and other things like that. We had a PM on the team, but he kind of let me run with it. But that was also a great experience too, though.
But you did leave after 5 years. You left Siemens for the second time and for a company called E&E Systems. Talk about that role and what was behind that move.
Yeah. So at that time in my career, we had finished that massive project at the School of Public Health, and we had a younger team out at Harvard, and I wanted to implement a teaching system for these younger people. And, you know, we were on board for it. We were a go on it, but then the big company, things changed. And so I was frustrated with the point that we needed to teach these people a lot. And we were kind of skipping over that. And I wanted to go somewhere that I can help other people be the best. You know, I was the best essentially out there in the field for a long time, which is great. But I got more pleasure, especially at this point in my life, of teaching other people to feel good, feel confident, feel strong whenever they're out there, feeling like they know the path to get to the next level.
And starting to hear a theme here.
Yeah. So that's what I was focused on. And, you know, so essentially I said, okay, if I can't do it here, then I'm going to do it somewhere else. So that was around the time I went to E&E, and I was there for, as you can see, a short time.
And just shy of a year.
Just shy of a year. I started off on the design team. I finished off as a pseudo supervisor for the design team. And the reason I went back to Siemens is E&E is a great company, but I felt like there was more people that were hungry at Siemens. It was a more competitive atmosphere, I guess you can say. We pushed harder, and I was missing that. So I did get a call from Siemens. I didn't actually reach out to Siemens at this time. They called me and they needed an engineering manager. And so I actually turned them down at first. I did. And it was a great offer. But at the time, again, me continually growing myself, I was like, I don't want to make this change because of the money. And
there had to be this third time at Siemens. People are going to think I'm nuts going around in your head too, right?
Yeah. I mean, people already think I'm nuts, so I kind of accepted that.
You and me both.
But yeah. But all in all, at first call, I did accept, and then I called him back and I said, no, I can't. And it was because I didn't want to make this decision solely based on the money. And then they left it alone for like a week or two. They called me back again. It's like, all right, like, what's it going to take? And honestly, I told them, I said, if we're going to do this, we got to do it the right way. Like, it's going to cost us some if we want to fix this whole area right here, because this is what you want me to focus on. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know what it takes. We talk. Gonna have to, you know, dip a little bit before we can rise up. But let me do this and have my back do this, and we can make this team great.
And you did go back and supervise your roles.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And so that's when I decided to go back after talking to the manager for the branch over there and talking to HR and all that stuff about why I was coming back, because I wanted to make that clear. So that's when I started working in the engineering team, and I did that for about a year. And then there was major changes, and they asked me to supervise the technicians that were out in the field. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that.
That's a big role.
Yeah, it's a lot. Being an operations supervisor, I think our first year, my team, we did like $9 to $10 million worth of work, and just overseeing that work, overseeing all the labor, helping to oversee the financials, mm-hmm. the plannings, and just trying to train and rise up a team, you know, is heavy lifting, especially when they're not all in one building. They're all over Massachusetts.
Wow. Yeah, that's hard.
But it was a great challenge, and I loved it because I loved the mentoring. You know, again, same theme. I don't change much. I love that I could empower these people and show them how they can accelerate their career. Show them how, you know, yes, do the hard work, but there's more to it than that if you want to get to whatever level you want to get to. You know, be clear and have a purpose of why you're here if you want to get the best out of yourself. And honestly, some of the biggest lessons I taught these guys really was how to deal with customers.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, it's one thing I always tell them, and they always say that's much easier said than done.
I think we're losing you a little
separate
there.
Separate business. Okay, so
there we go.
Kevin, all right. So I always tell them to separate the business and the personal.
Okay.
And so the reason I tell them that is, Kevin, if I'm servicing your building or something, and your boiler just went down and you have no heat. Granted, it's the middle of the summer, but you have no heat in your building. The reason you're upset is because you have no heat. You may take it out on me. You may yell at me, right? Because I'm the
what are you suggesting
at that point?
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, but at the same, teaching people that it's the situation that is where the aggravation has come. Not take it personal, because it's very easy to take it personal. They're in your face yelling at you, you know,
sure.
But to see past that, be able to communicate with them to figure out what exactly is that hot spot that they need, in particularly right now, to feel like things are okay. And if you could take care of that, then, but you can't do that when you're caught up in your emotions. And so
That's actually a good time to take a break. That transition will take us into Tiger Eye Leadership and the direction your career is taking now. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Tali Anderson of Tiger Eye Leadership.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Hey, this is Johnny Three Tears from Hollywood Undead, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
I do whatever it takes to make it break through. Anything I'm face to face with, it's true.
Be seen, be heard on the internet's number one ranked radio station right here in West Palm Beach. What a way for your business to have a voice. Now is the time to advertise your business on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 for a deal you won't refuse. Again, that's 561-506-4031. Don't wait. Call now.
Hey, This is Colt Ford, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
Have you ever dreamed of having your own radio show? Well, W4CY Radio makes dreams come true. You can be a radio personality on the number one ranked internet radio station in West Palm Beach, Florida. We can be heard in 105 countries and all U.S. states. Promote your business. Earn up to $10,000 per month and more. It's all up to you. Have fun and be heard. Call 561-506-4031. That's 561-506-4031. Start your radio show now.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind, to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with Polly Anderson, coach, trainer, and speaker, part of the John Maxwell team, and founder of Tiger Eye Leadership. Polly, we were talking about your third stint at Siemens, and you got to mentor and do more of what really made your heart go. And so I wanted to talk about that, right? You decided to make another big change. Well, not the previous changes were work-related. This is now career-related, taking it into a different direction, into coaching. It's a big change. So talk about that direction.
Yeah, definitely. And it's more, again, me solidifying, why am I here and what do I want to do with my life and what kind of impact I want to make, you know? Mm. Through this whole story that we've been talking about, there's been that common theme of me helping people, wanting to, you know, be their best, wanting them to shine. And the time when I actually got the idea that maybe I should go in was I got nominated to go to a special training through Siemens for people they felt, you know, leaders to whether run the branch or do something bigger. And, you know, it was a week, 2 weeks away with two coaches. Mm. And so they're going through these things and I'm thinking in the back of my mind is like, I can do this. It's like, I'm like, these are the kind of questions I ask people all the time anyways. It's like, you know, this stuff is kind of natural for me. Mm. And then the reason I got hicked up with John Maxwell team is I was actually listening to a book from John Maxwell and on an audiobook actually on the plane. And in that book, he had mentioned he has a coaching program. I was like, oh, perfect.
Just for listeners, John Maxwell has a ton of stuff, written a bunch of books. I don't think there's anything bad that he's written. No. Just really good content. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, with John Maxwell, powerful leader, he's worldwide. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's Christian. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of things that he was doing and saying that I resonated with. Mm. So for me, it made sense to follow through on that coaching opportunity. And so I did that, and there was tons and tons and tons of training for his certification. It was a great time. And, you know, you meet, honestly, a lot of great people that are focused on loving and serving other people, you know, which is awesome. And again, just going further and further down this path of coaching was really me trying to learn where I want to focus and what I want to focus on. You know, do I focus on purely the corporate world? Do I just talk about leadership in the corporate world? But then I felt like still something was missing there. Mm. And, you know, building a business, you need to find your niche, you know, who your market, who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And so I was constantly trying to refine that. And that's when I eventually came to the point where I realized that we have to start from the beginning, you know, really, which is the self-image, the self-identity, living that authentic life. Mm. Because I was able to do a lot of things and become successful in many different areas, but none of it meant anything to me because I was just living out of a place of this is what I need to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. Mm. Not anything that resonated with me.
God, wow, yeah.
And if there were things that were resonating with me, then I would have gave even more effort, you know. Not to side note.
Well, from listening, it sounds like you gave quite a bit of effort. You're saying you would have even given more.
I would have gave more. Like, for instance, there's a lot of people in the company that, you know, they're reading the books, the HVAC books. They're trying to grow in that area. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to do anything outside of my 8 hours of work. Unless I always did it when it would affect the customer because of relationships. That was important to me. Right. Or it would affect somebody else negatively because of relationships. That was important to me. Mm-hmm. So it always came back to that if I was given the extra effort. But it always came back to something that was important to me. Okay. And so that's really the key. And so when, like, for instance, right, you can listen to music and you know when somebody's heart's in it versus when they're just a good singer.
Right.
There's a different feeling to it. There's a different vibe to it. There's a different spirit to it. Okay. When you're working with somebody or you're working on something and your heart's into it, there's a different level of excellence that you give.
Yes.
Okay. There's a different spirit that you attack it. Okay. You can be great at it, but if you are passionate about it, that level of excellence just immediately goes up.
So tell me this. When you founded the firm, Tiger Eye Leadership, what's behind, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we've heard of the Eye of the Tiger, et cetera.
Yeah.
what do you mean by Tiger Eye Leadership? Where did that name come from?
Yeah. So back when I was young, as in like 6, 7 years old, mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly why, but my mom, I think it's from Jamaica, it's a Jamaican thing. Mm-hmm. We were essentially a family of lions, right? Mm. And so, but at some point, my mom let us pick what we wanted it to be. And I picked a tiger. So tiger has always kind of represented me. Mm. And then, so that's where the initial start of it came. And then, you know, I was thinking like, well, tiger, as far as I want people to really go at their careers, go at their life, you know, in attack mode almost, you know, a tiger is smooth. They're, you know, obviously stealthy. They seem calm most of, you know, but they're always focused and doing what they need to do and making things happen. And then the third part about it, even though I don't necessarily believe in all the stones and stuff like that, when I actually looked up Tiger Eye, and the stone says that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tiger Eye Stone, right? So it says that it's supposed to help you in making decisions without, like, pretty much not without emotion. Making decisions based on logic, based on information, being able to think clearly and all those things. I'm like, well, that's also what I want. So it kind of all fell in line. But it's really, the Tiger Eye Leadership is really for people to focus on what's important.
Okay. I want to read, that's awesome. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I want to read a bit from your LinkedIn page because I want you to talk about this. We all have a vision for our careers, businesses, relationships, health, and basically our life. Many have a vision that creates a positive impact for others. The only problem is that we get stuck. We get stuck in our own heads with no clarity. We get stuck in bad habits and we don't know how to break that we don't know how to break. And we get stuck in the influence of our environments. This is you speaking. I used to think I could just work harder to get through it, change it all, but that didn't quite work. I had a lot of big dreams or visions. And since the hard work didn't work, I figured maybe it was just out of my reach. Then I learned something even harder. My visions wouldn't go away. They just chased me around and left me frustrated because I thought I couldn't bring it to reality. So I started watching the people that were successful. Not in jealousy, but I wanted to learn what made them different. Then I put myself in a position to get trained by them, and I realized something I never noticed before. I realized that they all rose from above their environments and circumstances to create what they desired. Sure, they all put in hard work to do it, but 80% of their work was on themselves. They knew their mindset, create the right habits, and then how to influence others. Then as they continue to grow to new levels, they redo this process over and over again. I found there are so many people that want to create an impact, but they never learn that process of growth, power, or the right habits and how to create influence to build their team. I want to help as many people as I can do just that. That's powerful. Yeah. And I wanted to ask how you take people through that process. What does it look like if somebody works with you?
Oh, definitely. So I call it, there's three different parts of it. And I feel like, you know, God revealed this to me, kind of laid this out to me this way, where, you know, our mind and our body is, you say, it's a castle. Okay, so I call this process the revolutionized life, because the revolution is built on positive change. Okay, and so the first part of it is where we storm the castle, okay? Meaning that we attack our mind. We look at our mind for the limiting self-beliefs or the self-image. What are we carrying around that's stopping us from moving forward? What are we unclear about, you know, and what is a powerful purpose that's going to help us push through? Okay, so the first part of it is really all mental work, okay, because that's where it honestly has to start.
Yeah.
Honestly, just really figuring out that purpose is really has to be your purpose, not your mom's purpose, not your wife's purpose, not your kid's purpose. It has to be your purpose. Because it makes a huge difference whether you're going to overcome the obstacles that will come or you stop when things get hard.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the second part is when we rebuild the castle. And that's when we start looking at the right habits that are going to get you to the goals that you're looking at. And so I was even actually thinking this morning, self-discipline is great, but if you're not disciplined in the right areas, then it really doesn't have any power.
Okay, what are some of those right areas?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, so, for instance, I was thinking this because this morning I was taking a cold shower because I was just disciplining myself to take cold showers sometimes, right? But, because I hate cold showers.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, mind over body type thing. But at the same time, we'll say in the relationship, where most people can relate to, okay? If I'm not taking the time to listen to my spouse without judgment to try to understand where she's coming from, okay? If I'm taking the time just to be quiet and listen, then it doesn't matter it doesn't matter when I bring her flowers if I'm not taking the time to, okay? If I'm not taking the time to figure out at work what's actually important to my boss, okay? I have lots of tasks that I need to do, great. What's the top 20% of things that's going to be the most impactful for your job and for your boss? Okay, stuff like with our health. What are we eating on a daily basis? How much of that are we eating on a daily basis? Yeah. You know, you'd rather be the guy that walks for a mile every day instead of 10 miles every 10 days, okay?
That's good.
Those habits will be more powerful in your life than just trying to make big jumps. And that's what, like, back to relationships, that's what we do with the flowers and stuff. Those are just the big jumps, you know, instead of the little habits that we can use to chip away at any area. But those habits are going to be figured out or determined by whatever goals that you have. Okay, so it's, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what would resonate in a listener or in a potential client's heart and minds right now to say, hey, I might need Tali?
I would say that one main thing is that your purpose powers your performance. And most people lack the beginning part of it. And if you don't have clarity of why you're doing what you're doing, then it's extremely hard to stop the bad habits. It's extremely hard to make a very clear path to your goal. And it's extremely hard to let go of the negative self-image and the negative self-beliefs that will constantly plague you and make you react in ways you don't want to. And many of us sit there after the fact and say, why did I do that? You know, or why didn't I stick with it?
Yeah.
And so we have to start there. And those are the most powerful things that you can do in your life. Just like you said in that bio and LinkedIn, the mindset is 80% of the whole success plan.
I see that all the time. I mean, you know what I do. I work with sales teams and help them improve, but 80% of it is mindset.
It's mindset.
All right, couple big questions left.
Yeah.
So you've referred to your faith. You're a person of faith. You're a Christian. What challenges have you experienced in the workplace relative to being a Christian?
Me personally, I wouldn't say that I've faced many challenges later on, maybe early on, because I was afraid of judgment.
Okay.
But once I was comfortable with myself, then I really no longer cared what anybody thought. There has honestly been a few times, more times than I can count, that people have asked me about my faith, and we've had conversations about God, about Jesus, about different spiritual things in their lives.
All right, I've got one more big question for you.
Yeah.
So you're a person of color from a black, as from a black man's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big question. We're probably going to end on this.
Yeah.
What can you say to listeners in these days of division and strife?
I would say accept yourself first. Mm. I think that there's a lot of us as in black people that's looking to get accepted by the other communities. There is a lot of people that are in other communities that feel judgment on them. And I think it all starts with we have to accept ourselves first. We have to love ourselves first.
Mm.
It's so much easier for me to love and accept somebody when I love myself first. When you have that power, then offenses or judgments, they can't really touch you.
That's really good.
Yeah. They can't steal your power. And that's what it's about right now. You know, people's being able to steal your power away from with distractions or judgments or racism or everything else that it may be. It can just be noise that you can communicate with like we are today, or mm-hmm. it can be a trigger that controls you.
I'm so glad I asked you that question. It's such a great perspective. All right. We are sadly out of time. I want to thank you so much for being here. What's the best way for people to reach out and get in touch with you?
Sure. People can visit me at my website at www.naphtaliandersen, and that's NaphtaliAnderson.com. Or they can contact me on Facebook, Naphtali Anderson, and I'm always active on there.
Excellent. Also, they can look at, because that's how I looked up too, is Tiger Eye. Tiger Eye Leadership has a Facebook page too. So awesome.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for your time.
You got it. And thank you, everybody, for listening. This is a show about business and business challenges. If you've got concerns about the growth of your company, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook or LinkedIn at Winning Business Radio, or you can drop me a note, kevin@winningbusinessradio.com. Our company, Winning Incorporated, we're part of Sandler Training. We develop sales teams into high achievers and sales leaders into true coaches and mentors. We're not right for everybody, but maybe we should have a conversation. Thank you, as always, to my favorite engineer, Rebel Medler. Tune in again next Monday, August 24th at 4 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Rob Way, owner and president of Robert Way Construction. Until then, this is Kevin Hallinan.
You've been listening to Winning Business Radio with your host, Kevin Hallinan. If you missed any part of this episode, the podcast is available on Talk 4 Podcasting and iHeartRadio. For more information and questions, go to winningbusinessradio.com or check us out on social media. Tune in again next week and every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to listen live to Winning Business Radio on W4CY Radio, W4CY.com. Until then, let's succeed where others have failed and win in business with Kevin Hallinan and Winning Business Radio.